Hello, friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, music, pop culture. I'm your host this week, Brian, and I went ahead and pulled up one of those Hawaiian name generators on the internet and typed in my name, and it turns out that my Hawaiian name is Palaina, which coincidentally also means turning away an embarrassment or smoothing out cement. Joining me, as always, is a whole slew of crazy characters. If he got bit by a shark, he's probably going to give up surfing. It's Sean.
There's not a chance that I give up sharking. Wow, no. There's not a chance that I give up surfing. If anything, I would keep the wound fresh and just see how many shark I could corral.
Well, that's an interesting strategy.
Yeah. I would be a moving weapon of danger on the ocean.
Your Hawaiian name, by the way, is Kauno.
Ooh, snake's vagina. Nice.
That's exactly what it means. If he was a city planner, he would put a playground next to a sewage system, if you know what I mean. It's Kyle.
I 100% would and did. Yeah. Hi. I wanted to turn this actually around on you real quick, Brian, because spoiler alert, this movie is where Michael gets his like online persona name. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have given our origin stories for our names, but I'm curious, where does Sassafras McNast come from?
Oh, that's actually a great question. I was being particularly
Sassafrassy.
Catty one day at work with my buddy Steven. He said something to me, and I was like, I just kind of dismissed him, said something real snarky, and he's like, all right, Sassafras McNast. And since then, that has been
pretty good.
My online persona. So.
I like that. That's a great origin story. And I really like the name. It rolls off the tongue. So thank you for explaining that.
No problem. Your Hawaiian name, by the way, Kyla.
Oh. Ah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
That sounds like an offshoot Star Fox character.
I stan Kyla.
Kyla would do less.
Kyla would do less.
It's Kylo Ren.
Your favorite?
No.
All right.
We also have with us a major, major, major influence on me now, and I feel terrible. It's the master of impressions, Ryan.
Oh, no. I thought my impressions were kind of bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
last week, I feel like you really nailed me. You got my voice.
I've got an ear. What can I say? God gifted me an ear, and I have to use it.
God gifted.
Your Hawaiian name is Leana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leana what?
Whatever you want to lay on, I guess.
I'll show you.
And finally, you may know him from Action Movie December and Action Movie December in July. And if you're familiar with his name on our Discord, check it out in the show notes, by the way. You know we had to have him for this one. It's I Am Kunu himself, Michael. Welcome.
What's up, boys? Thanks for having me. I am so, so excited to talk about this movie, which I'm sure I've said like a million times already. But yeah, I just need to reiterate one more time how excited I am for this.
I was super confused. I watch everything with subtitles, and I was super confused because every time Paul Rudd would say, I'm Kunu, my subtitle spelled it out as K-O-O-N-U or O-O. It was some really dumb spelling. Yeah. I'm like, you're a phony.
I was like, that's not how it's spelled.
Yeah.
How dare you stand where he stood?
Your Hawaiian name, Mikala.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Pretty good.
Mikala.
Mikala as Sukala?
It's not quite Mankala. It's not quite the Mikado, but you know, it's still fun.
Right. I feel like a lot of them are really close to the English name, and then there's mine and Ryan's, which are so far off.
I've said this joke before, but if you say Michael's name in Russian, it's like he's a caveman that owns me or is saying hi.
Mikhail.
Mikhail. Oh, that's great. Mikhaili.
Mikhaili.
What's mine again? Because I just have snake's vagina in my mind now.
Yours was Kauno.
Kauno. Okay.
Yeah. Snake. Hey, that's Sean, could you get a little bit closer to your mic? I think you're just get a little bit closer to it. All right, now actually that's too close. Back up a little bit closer. Back up a little closer. Audio medium. Gotta
What's
love
he doing?
It. Sean, were you wearing that necklace before I asked you to do all that?
No. Where did this come from? Microphone.
All right, if it's not obvious, we're talking about forgetting Sarah Marshall this week. If, you know, you got this far into the episode without reading the title of it or catching on to any of those references.
Yeah.
And we're going to get right into this. I'm going to start us off with a little synopsis. Peter Brenner, Jason fucking Siegel, gets dumped while naked by his TV star girlfriend, Sarah Marshall, played by Kristen Bell, who trades up for rock god man whore Aldous Snow, Russell Brand playing Russell Brand. After several pity hookups and way too much crying into cereal, Peter flies to Hawaii to find himself, only to find Sarah and Aldous vacationing at the same damn resort. The concierge Rachel, played by Mila Kunis, takes pity on the sobbing man-child and gives him a free suite, which he repays by ugly crying into hotel towels, stalking his ex around the buffet, and discovering that rock bottom comes with ocean views. Between awkward run-ins with Sarah and bonding with Rachel, Peter starts to heal, singing songs from his Dracula puppet opera, and realizing maybe he's not total garbage after all. Sarah and Aldous implode after some loud, jealous wall sex wars, while Peter and Rachel's spark fizzles when he almost falls back into bed with Sarah out of muscle memory and sadness. Back in L.A., Peter finishes his batshit musical, A Taste for Love. Rachel shows up to cheer him on, and they reconnect. Proof that sometimes the best way to forget your ex is get weird, get creative, and get laid by someone better.
That is a solid life lesson. Also, cutting off a blowjob halfway through a blowjob from your ex is better than not getting a blowjob from your ex, is what this guy's I like from this movie.
This guy's like Gandhi, except
yeah,
better.
Yeah.
He better. Likes puppets.
Yeah, because he likes
That's
puppets.
That's blue balls.
Son of a bitch. This is my shit.
Oh, I love that Nothing guy.
Nothing Against fucks me up.
The fuck was that guy's
you gotta
name?
See that
guy's
movie.
Great.
Dude Hangs Dong.
Dwayne?
What yeah.
movie are you talking about?
This movie.
Oh.
He does hang.
Also making a Jason reference Siegel. To Always Sunny.
Oh.
Where they're talking about Thunder Gun. You gotta see that movie, Dude Hangs Dong.
Dude Hangs Dong.
Mm.
See. All right, our first category is story. We're going to score this thing out of 4 points each because there are five of us, just like it's been all through Brookstober. So nothing really changing there. Our first category is story. And I think I want to hear Ryan kick this off.
No, I thought this might happen. I was hoping to look up Honestly, I Love You, Man and see where we're at for story there. Because that's about where I feel here. This was, honestly, it's very far after many of the Judd Apatows. And it kind of has that formula. And in the same vein, even at like 111 minutes, I feel like there's a bit here. But it's because they get into the characters and they really spend time with the characters and focus on that and the humor. And the story is just a vehicle. I think the story is good. I don't have negative things to say about it. I just don't feel like it's any. It is a typical rom-com story. I'm sounding like super harsh on this, but we are out of four again, right? Since there are five
yes,
people
are.
Here. So, all right, that makes it easier because this is not average. It's a little bit better than average, but it's not like an all-star story. It's a solid three to maybe like a low three because I think it's ultimately fine. It's good. I think it ultimately like completes art. No, I'm going to talk about characters. No, it's a fine story. I'm happy to pass this on. It's fine. Three. Kyle, what are your thoughts on the story?
So I'll get it out of the way first. I think I'm exactly with you, but I'm way more on the higher side of the three. I really like the story. It's very basic, which I'm generally always a fan of because it lets it breathe. I like the unique taste take on it. I do think it would. It's a unique situation that would extra suck to be dumped by America's sweetheart. Like, and then just like also to work on her show. Like, you literally can't escape from this person.
There's no escape.
Yeah.
No escape. That is a great one. To that extent, it does get a bit ridiculous when he shows up at the same resort she's at and then stays. And it's like, come on, bro. What are we doing here? But it's, you know, you turn the brain off. You can suspend your disbelief. It's not so ridiculous. And we'll get into it in a bit. But goddamn, Bill Hader is great. So just throwing that out there, too. One thing I loved, I kind of noticed this time, number one, I should not have watched the unrated. I hate doing that. And I wasn't paying attention when I rented it because it's longer and I don't think it adds anything really needed. So I won't knock it for that. But I do feel like the Dracula song that he sings in the bar when Mila Kunis pushes him is almost like a perfect like turning point of the movie. It's almost kind of like midway. After that, he sort of like changes. Everything starts to kind of go. You don't think Ryan will disagree, but I kind of noticed it this time. It really kind of like set a nice new vibe. And I don't know. It kind of seemed like that's when he started to get over Homegirl a bit, who I'll also talk about in characters in the future. But yeah, story overall, a very high three. It's not breaking the mold, and I'm generally shitting on rom-coms, but I had a really good time. And let me kick it to Michael.
Yeah, I don't really have a ton to add. I'm sort of with both of you guys, maybe more so on Kyle, that it's sort of a high three in that, yes, this is your standard bro rom-com, maybe, is what we'll classify it as. So, like, you know, there's nothing that's reinventing the wheel here. But I think the story is maybe not the most important part of this movie, and we'll talk about the more important parts later on. So, like, I can sort of take a back seat to what actually the story is going on. It's a simple, straightforward plot. There's not a whole lot that you really need to pay attention to. You pretty much got it on one view. So it doesn't detract, like Ryan said. So in that instance, for this style of movie, I'll give it a 3. I think it's perfectly acceptable. And what about you, Sean?
Brian, remind me, is script part of story?
Script is absolutely part of story.
Oh, shit.
All right. This is a very high 3. If not, I'm going a 4 on this. I think the script of this movie is top notch. The interactions between every character is, it just feels so real and so fluid. And like, say what you will about the story as a whole. I think everything that everybody said is right. It's, I think, story alone, 3. But what really takes it to the next level is the interactions between all of these characters. You have Brian and Peter, like their interactions as they very clearly specify before he says that I will shank you, we're stepbrothers. We're not even, but like, there's just something real there in that we've all had that interaction with somebody before. And well, maybe not that exact interaction, Ryan.
Ryan's making a face like he's never threatened to stab anybody.
In a bathroom.
Sorry.
Like, come on. So I think that really takes it to the next level. And we can get even more into that, I think, when it comes to the characters. But I'm going to go 4 here.
You're not even blood. And I will not hesitate to stick you.
Yeah, it's going to end up on Brian, but it looks like Ryan has something to add. It looks like everybody has something.
I want to change it to a 4 too, because I'm a buffoon who also forgets that dialogue and script are part of it, and the dialogue is fantastic. It's so clever. It's so smartly written, which, as you said, leads into characters, which I will talk about more. So that's all I want to say. It's a 4 for me.
I'm not changing it, but I'm just saying that I once had the police called on me for chasing my sister around my house with a knife, so...
And I also had this note, and I wanted to get it out there too. Chases people with knives. So,
see. Also, I wrote down, still, this is how Stella got her groove back for white dudes. Right. Oh, Michael.
I also had no idea that script was a part of the story. Changing it to 4. This is maybe the, I mean, it's my favorite movie. I quote this movie more than any other movie. I think I have a quote for every single situation in life. So if that's part of the criteria, let's move it to four.
Before I send it to Brian, since you just mentioned that, I sent to these guys earlier. I completely forgot that, like, so if I'm like, all right, have a good day, guys, and like nobody says anything, I'm just like, guess I'll just go fuck myself. Like,
mahalo.
I had no idea that like it traces back to this until that came up and Jonah Hill drops that line. And I'm like,
I say that shit all day at work.
Every day. Yeah.
Go fuck myself.
Guess I'll just go fuck myself. All right, Brian.
It's not even that big of a deal, like what he said to him.
Right.
Right. Exactly. That's the best part. It's like the smallest inconvenience. Guess I'll just go fuck myself.
This is my pick this week, and I picked it because I fucking love this movie. So I don't think it's going to be any surprise that I was going to go with a four before you guys even mentioned screenplay. Because I think this is absolutely just almost the perfect rom-com story-wise. Mm-hmm. I feel like they do so many things correctly, and it feels real. You know, you have backslides, you have fully developed characters, you have a villain, unquote, who has reasoning, but that's more character. We'll get to that. And like, this movie's not going to pass the Bechdel test, but if there was an opposite version of that, it's not going to pass that either, because every man in this movie is also spending all of his dialogue talking about a woman. So I don't know. I just, for me, this thing, I almost want to use a bonus point. I love the story here.
Hey, man. And they were free flowing last month. Go ahead. Let it fly.
Fuck it. I'm doing it. Five.
There we go.
Five for story. And that will move us into characters. And I know we all have stuff to say about that. I'm going to kick it off, actually. I think these characters are so well-rounded and believable. And like, yeah, you really dislike Sarah for so much of the movie. And then you find out, like, she had her reasons. And like, she has probably the most emotional speech of this movie when she's telling Peter, like, I fucking tried. And I'm like, you eventually find out that she's been cheating on him for a year and she once again becomes the villain. But for a minute there, you're like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. And I dig it. It's a four for me for characters. And the side characters are some of the best you're going to find in a movie. Everybody is so fucking funny. I mean, between Paul Rudd's character, Jonah Hill, Jack McBrayer, Bill Hader, everybody is firing on all cylinders. The stupid jokes coming from Billy Baldwin and Jason Bateman. So good.
Jason Bateman just like coming out of left field, like mid credits. Like, what the fuck?
So good.
He's the best. I love that guy so much.
It's a four for me. And I want to hear from Sean.
Jason Bateman, this is 2008. This is right when he was like cresting off of Arrested Development, right?
Yeah.
Had it been. I'm also going to give this a four. For all of the reasons that you said, everybody has just such great, everybody in their own way has such great motivation. Like even Jonah Hill's character, Matthew Vanderwinkle, even him, like he has his own, like his daily drive is to wake up and see all this snow out on the ground, you know? And he lives for him. Now talk about all this snow. It's really weird.
God damn it.
Thinking back to the first time that I saw this and I'm like, wow, that's a funny character. Cause it's so gross. And then you watch it now and you're like, wow, that's just Russell Brand now. And that's gross.
They somehow managed to get like 15 years of character development from the guy who plays this character and make him more hateable.
It's insane. Like on a rewatch, like I just want to punch him in the face every time he appears on the screen. It's so like when he reveals just out of nowhere, like, would I tell you that I had genital herpes? No, because I don't have a flare-up. It's like, you are the world's grossest person.
So gross.
Hard stop. It's a four for me. And I want to pass it to Michael.
There's no question. This is absolutely a four. For all the reasons you guys have said, like every side character has at least one memorable, probably each side character has like two memorable moments. And it's funny, Kyle, you brought up the unrated version, because even Kristen Wiig in the unrated version where she's the yoga instructor is so fucking funny, I think, when she's just saying all this shitty shit to Sarah Marshall. It's like, oh, I thought you'd be taller like you are on your show. Just little shit like that.
Your form's perfect. So I'm just doing this for me.
And the interactions between different characters at different points, like Peter and like the side hotel staff, they all like recognize he's going through this shit. And they're just like, hey, we'll just try and cheer you up. Like the cook is like, why don't you come prep the pig with me? You know, whatever. It's The Sopranos. Find a new show. There's a pig. And then, Paul Rudd is like, let's just go surfing. Let's take your mind off. Let's have some fun. And Peter's like, man, I actually feel good now. And then, like, on the other hand, you have Jack McBriar and Russell Brand interacting, where he's trying to teach him, like, the proper way to please a woman on the giant chessboard. Like, it's all just so good and all fits together so seamlessly that everyone has a nice little relationship that they develop at some point. And it's just, it's so wonderful. And, God, I fucking love this movie. Kyle, what about you?
I will start by saying, gentlemen, before this movie, I had never heard of Kristen Bell. And after this movie, I fell in love with Kristen Bell. I think she is fantastic.
Wait, for real?
Uh-huh. I didn't know, like, Veronica Mars and other, like, I saw her in this and I was like, whoa, who's this?
100%. Yeah.
Really blown
you're
away.
Not talking about before today.
Yeah. I just the very first time I saw this movie. Since then, of course, it's just been balls to the wall. But
balls terrible. To the wall for Kristen Bell.
100%. You can quote me on that. But she's great. But what I really liked this time, I'm a four, by the way, 100%. The absolute chemistry between everybody, but especially Jason Segel and Mila Kunis. Like, it is so damn believable and, like, lived in and sweet and endearing. Like, I don't know. And again, I'm generally not the rom-com guy. I really enjoyed this one. Like, it's as much a rom-com as it is, like, a story of self-discovery, too. Like, he's really kind of, like, trying to figure himself out in the most horrible way, which I think a lot of us would probably imitate in some form, just not handle it well at all. And I know I would. I'd be the biggest, worst, messy piece of shit, just like him. And I would not feel good for a long time. I also wrote, I feel Jason Segel is our Judge Reinhold. So take that quote however you want. But yeah, okay. A full four. And I guess that sends it to close it out with who? Ryan?
Ryan.
Yeah, it's all our dog over here gonna take it out with I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm gonna start with I'm also at a four. But however, I'm gonna have to tamp some stuff down here a little bit, because I feel like we are being very high on certain things, and I'm gonna tamp us down again just a wee bit.
Take a big old turd on it, Ryan.
No. And if it's a turd, it's like the smallest of little Tootsie Rolls. It's like so hard that it's going to bounce off and not even leave a mark. Just like the cheesiest, hardest turd. Anyway, the word believable.
I can see why you don't like going to the bathroom with other people.
Because they throw their hard turds at you. Don't use public restrooms.
Why are you eating hot Cheetos in there?
Ugh. Believability keeps getting thrown around, and I do not feel like that is a word I would use for this movie. I think earnestness is absolutely earned, and I feel like that's maybe where this is coming from, is because I think the dialogue has truth to it. You can feel like the heartbreak that influenced like all of these lines, like the introspection that happens. All of this feels very real. It was written and gathered from real experience, people who really felt heartbreak, and that earnestness comes true. I agree that a majority of the characters are great, And I do think they are absolutely like really good at making them three dimensional. And what we've not talked about is like Russell Brand, because I guess he's like the turd, the hard, cheesy turd in the room that nobody wants to touch. But I honestly think, yes, he is gross and he is like this caricature, but even he's portrayed with some empathy, which is like really, I think, pretty sweet and earnest. And if we're going to use the word I think I like really the most for all of this is earnestness. That said, Mila Kunis, I think, is a bit of a manic pixie dream girl, and you can't convince me 100%. Otherwise. And I do think the ending, if we're going to talk about believability, none of this rings true. Absolutely none of this rings true.
No, not that part.
Her scene in the bar with her encouraging him doesn't feel true to me. A lot of that stuff doesn't feel 100% true.
That part there are does, certain
things
but...
that do feel true. A lot of, and I will say, we'll get into this with some of the direction choices, but like the flashbacks and memories of like Kristen Bell and Jason Segel going through like their past memories of like when Russell Brand's being a dick about the shirt. And then she thinks about all the times that Jason Segel was like doing the things for her, like wearing her stupid gifts out and like just the doing hat. It anyway. With a shit-eating grin and loving it. And, like, that felt real to me. The anything with Mila Kunis felt like a Hollywood script. And that's where I will disagree. And if there's any one character that doesn't feel real to me, outside of Aldous Snow, who is just, like, a fucking character of a Chris Martin type ramped up and horny, like, to the 11th degree, Rachel Jansen does not feel real to me. So this is like a very reserved four, but I want to rein it in and say like this isn't like uniformly great. I think there are ways this could improve with characters. Great, they're really good, but we have not reached perfection in my opinion. And that is
to clarify, I stated that I thought that the chemistry between the two of them was very real and believable, and I liked that. I didn't mean to allude that I thought that a woman would fly from Hawaii to Los Angeles to see a puppet play for a guy that fucked his ex when he was seeing her. That part is the bit of a stretch for me.
It was barely the tip.
That was all I wanted to say. 10 to 15 seconds. I liked, and speaking of the characters, I thought their chemistry was nice and believable. And I didn't feel like it was fake or put on. It was good. Sean?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I just wanted to jump in with, there's like 3 points in this movie that I thought were the most believable things in it. Was one, when you had Peter and Sarah talking and she's just like kind of dancing around what she wants to talk about. He's like, let's just be real here. Like, that is such a
this
real
thing to put in
a movie.
This is an Access Hollywood. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, it's like, when you're sitting there and you're skirting an issue, but they're like, they've been together for 5 years. And it's like, just be honest, just put it out there. And I think the other two were with Mila Kunis's Rachel. That bar scene, I thought was so like pushing him to do something that he just like talks about is a dream. It happens all the time. Like being out and about. And if somebody's outgoing enough, they'll put you on the spot like that. And I was like, wow, I've been in that spot before. It sucks. He took it way better than I did. But also when they're on the cliff, she makes him jump. Thought that was super real in a first day adventure kind of thing.
And
I just wanted to dance back at that, because there is a lot in here that is not believable. But those were actually ones that were super believable to me.
Also, if we can throw in character flaws, that is too much goddamn cereal.
No way. He was eating cereal.
I also found that to be a very relatable amount of cereal.
He said it was a salad. It's not cereal.
Yeah.
I literally have two bowls that are bigger than that in my kitchen, and I will make sure to eat more salad than that and send
That's
you a
like
picture.
That's like the bowl that Craig makes his out of in Friday, and he doesn't have any milk.
And he has just the freshest cereal.
Now it keeps my cereal fresh. That's kind of real too. Like,
yeah,
seeing shit that just dumb shit that reminds you of
everywhere,
her, quote unquote, everywhere. That like it was so sad, but so fucking funny the way it was conveyed. I think that's what's so great about sort of the, you know, quote unquote real parts of the movie is that they are delivered in a very palatable way, I think, that, you know, you can kind of laugh about it, but I was like, oh, wow, yeah, that makes sense.
There was a time where I legit just wouldn't drive down. Like, I went out of my way to take a different driving route so I wouldn't have to look at her house. Like, I have been there. Not, like, to that, but, like, I have so been there.
Like, not fly to Hawaii level, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We don't have Los Angeles TV composer money to do that, so.
I took a trek up to Maine.
Dark and ominous, like losing your penis is a bad thing.
Oh, you want dark and ominous.
Imagine having such a hilarious cast that you just cut Kristen Wiig out of your movie entirely.
That's wild.
No. All right, our next category is style. And style is going to encompass style, tone, where this lives within its genre, music, all that fun stuff. And I think we're going to have Michael kick this one off.
Ah, shit. Okay, well, this is the one category that I had absolutely no idea, like, what it meant. But, okay, that summed up pretty well. With that all being said, three, I guess? Because, like, like we've already said, it's, you know, sort of on the straight and narrow as far as rom-coms go. It's not too out there in terms of story. You have the Hawaii setting, which maybe is a little cliche for a Hollywood movie, but they sort of lean into it a little more, which I kind of appreciate. And yeah, I don't know. The music is fine. The music I remember most is all the stuff from Infant Sorrow and Russell Brand's character himself, because it's all just hilarious and great. And we got more of that with Get Him to the Greek, which I think did it a little better. But yeah, I don't know. Nothing amazing stands out to me, I guess. I'll give it a 3. Ryan.
So I feel like for style, a 2 is a bit too low, but 3 feels very high for me too, because this is a bit better than average. I like that you called out the Infant Sorrow stuff. Like, the music videos felt like the cheesy kind of shit you would see at the time that Maroon 5 or something would put out. I fucking, like, it's all believable. Like, the little bits they do, it feels believable. But then you also
it's
Ernest, are
Ryan. I'm kidding.
Ernest.
No, I would say those Zing. Are believable. Those are believable. I believe I would have seen that at certain. Anyway, I do think there is truth to, like, going to Hawaii and filming a movie is a bit of a cliche. And how much do you get credit for just, like, having beautiful scenery and, like, shit that's already set up in Hawaii? And then you just shoot it kind of very flatly and your editing's kind of like nothing. And, like, you just let shots, like, do whatever, because, like, this is like, and we've talked about this many times, and this is why Edgar Wright is one of the masters when it comes to comedy, is, like, there are so many things you can do with the camera and, like, the way shots are laid out that can add to the scene and make things pop and even funnier. And this era of comedy, from, like, Wedding Crashers, I will say, to, I don't know when it ended, somewhere after this, 5-6 years or so, they were all really funny and all very smartly written, and they did really great things with the story and the characters and really dug in ways like they'd never done before. Some of the most boring shot movies possible. Like, it is just, it's a little flat. So I don't know. Again, average feels not fair. God, I wish I could split this shit. I'm gonna probably be, let's go a low, very low, very reserved 3. A very reserved 3. I feel off about that, but yep, that is what it is. I'm gonna pass it to somebody who I think is gonna be much more high on this, to really bring up the tone of this. Brian, what are your thoughts on style?
No, I actually agree with you quite a bit on the way this is shot. The thing I like about it taking place in Hawaii is that it is a cliche and these are LA people. Like, where would they go? They would go to Hawaii because it's a cliche. And it kind of goes, it leans into that. Of course, they would both go to Hawaii and that's how they end up at the same place. That said, just being in Hawaii does give you a lot for beautiful scenery and stuff like that. And there are so many better ways to shoot it. And like, even when they cut to like the scene of chasing the pig, you can tell that this is not something that they were originally intending to put in the movie, probably just based on how it's lit and how it's shot. And you're like, it feels very much like an afterthought. And then like, the scene where they're carrying the dead pig and it's just silhouettes. You're in Hawaii. There are so many ways you could shoot this scene that would look so much better. But it does get saved by things. I think the music, like the score itself is whatever, who cares? You have all of the Infant Sorrow stuff, which is so good, written all by Jason Segel with the script. And you have all of the Dracula musical stuff, which is just chef's kiss. I love it so much. I actually have a poster in my house for A Taste for Love. And then you get a bunch of like Hawaiian covers of like Nothing Compares to You. These Boots Are Made for Walking. Everybody Hurts More Than Words, all sprinkled in the movie. And if you're going to do Hawaii, that's a fun thing to do with the music. And it's a 3 for me, but a very high 3. And I would like to hear from Kyle.
I mean, this movie inspired me that we should really press forward with our Vampire Sopranos and really see that to fruition.
I think you're right.
Come on.
Abort.
We were inspired, boys. We were inspired. Abort.
Get a new show.
Give myself a neck. I'll do whatever. All the Gabagools
agree.
Want to do, even though like Brian got up a good point with the music, because I do love those goddamn Dracula songs, especially that one. I got a little misty eyed when he plays it in the bar, man. It's good stuff. But still, overall, you're in fucking Hawaii and it is so goddamn flat. You don't got to be fucking PTA with Punch Drunk Love and make it all washed out and beautiful, but come on, you're in Hawaii.
There's a middle ground.
Looks better than this. So 2. I'm going 2. Sean, take us home.
I'm going the world's easiest 2, and it's a low 2. Like, I don't give a shit about Hawaii. I could watch the world's worst thing, and if it's set in Hawaii, what am I going to give? Am I going to give this category a 3 or 4 because it's on Hawaii? No, it is, okay, it's Hawaii, but it was shot in the most boring of ways. The highest thing that I can give in this category is because as a comedy, it was pretty funny. It had me laughing. And 2, the music. Everything that Brian said, like, I could listen to the Vampire Dracula music all day long, every single day, and I will absolutely be endlessly entertained. But I think in terms of for this category, 2 is about as high as I can go, and I feel like I'm being generous.
I'm a high 2, I would like to clarify.
Earnestness of the of the romantic comedy.
If this was out of 5, I'd be a 3 easily.
Can I just one, I appreciate the bravery of you 2 going with 2s. Fantastic. I have a point. You teared up in the bar scene, which I called out as being fucking not quite hitting it for me in authenticity. I agree. I think his performance is like really great and touching and moving. And then they cut to fucking Mila Kunis laughing and like kind of not getting it. And then it like pivots into a comedy, which is, I guess, like, spoiler, how it ends. And it's fine. But like in that scene, I'm with you. Like, it's kind of like this really heartfelt performance and he's giving it his all and she's laughing and not getting it. And like the only other person in the bar getting it is like this guy who clearly does not speak the language. Who is just hearing a man singing out like passionately.
I love that his wife is also like, what are you doing?
I think that was more authentic, the dude fucking loving it and the wife not getting it, than anything from Mila Kunis in this reaction. I thought it was confused at best. His performance was very moving. I agree.
I would love to just give back that I felt like Mia's character was just laughing in overjoy that he went up there and he was doing it. And like, mm-hmm. it wasn't a laughing at what was being played. I 100% understand that emotion when you see somebody that actually gets up after being so reserved, actually in a real sense, and doing it and just be like,
that's like exactly how I interpreted it.
If that was not followed up by a scene of her in the next morning going, ha, Dracula, blah, ha, ha, that shit's hilarious, right? And then it like confirms, no, it actually wasn't like just she was overwhelmed by like him performing and working up the courage to do it. She just ultimately thought he was being funny. And so she didn't get it. So then we have like this whole like him contemplating about like Kristen Bell not getting it when like, well, did Mila Kunis actually get it? No, but the movie needs it to have a happy ending. So let's just fucking not think about that and continue on.
I don't think it being an earnest moment and being funny are mutually exclusive.
Not necessarily.
It's actually him realizing that it is a comedy that makes him finish it.
Yeah, someone mentioned that
among
it's a
other
comedy.
Things. Among other things.
There are a lot of motivating
There's
factors.
A lot of other things that make him finish it, too. I remain to be moved yet.
But the fact that hearing, they include that line...
Someone told me it was a comedy.
Yeah. So they had the wherewithal to include that as a line. So I think you could... And that, like, in any other sense, that's just a throwaway line. Except in a situation like this, where you're like, well, it was a comedy.
Yeah.
But I just wish they would make it, damn it.
Two.
All right. He said what he said. Next category is entertainment value. And I think we're going to have Kyle kick this one off.
Damn. Because I'm already waffling, because we've mentioned so many times the quotability. And I think the thing to take into a factor here, I don't know, is that it's one of those shocking things where, like, you don't even remember the origin of some of these things. Although I do clearly remember the bullshit line, because, again, I fell hard for Kristen Bell in this flick and everything she did. The question, like, I'm at the four, and it's a goddamn funny movie. I'm staying four. It is really fucking funny. I'm not going to get so goddamn generous and give out the BP. Staying at a four. I really, really, really did like it. I hadn't seen this movie in a long time, and it was kind of good to watch the uncut version, because I don't know if I've ever seen that one. So there was a lot of, like, just... like bits that were still fresh, like I kind of remembered some things. Like I feel like maybe in the uncut version, there's a lot more sex scenes where he's going through like the chicks after the breakup. Because I only remembered the one chick that just keeps saying hi, which is a great bit. It's the I'm glad they kept that one. It is the funniest one. And she's like, "Do you want to gag me?" And he's like, "Well, I kind of do now." Great bit. It's fucking funny, man. I love, it sucks to say, but god damn it, Russell Brand is fucking entertaining. It's fucking terrible, but fuck, he's hilarious. And like you said, he does kind of have like, he has a point. He's like, you're clearly not over this, dude. I made a huge mistake coming here. It's a rational grown-up decision that he immediately pisses on by saying, I fucked the housekeeper last week. But anyways, it is goddamn funny. And I like the relationships. I really like the Dracula songs. It's a easy four for me. And I want to kick it to Sean.
Endlessly entertained. I think a big reason why I just don't remember like where a lot of these quotes and things that I hold so close and they just come out in situations reasons why I don't remember or associate with this is because, boys, I haven't seen this movie in so long. Mm-hmm. And then you watch it. Then I watched it and I was like, man, why haven't I watched this recently? Because it's so entertaining. And it's an hour and 50 minutes that just flies. There's always something fun or entertaining or some interesting story beat going on. So yeah, it's a four from me. And I'm going to shoot it to, I think Michael's been holding down center court here, so I'm going to send it to him.
Do I get a bonus point?
Of course.
If yeah. you want it, yeah.
I would give this a 600 out of four if I could. This is, it's my favorite movie of all time. So like, it's kind of, you know, whatever to say, but like, I first watched this movie when it like first came out on DVD, and my buddies watched it the previous night and they were like, we will watch it with you again because it is that funny. Hell, I was yeah. like, okay, yeah, cool, let's watch it. We watched it at like 2 a.m. in one of our friends' garage, and like, my side was hurting. I was laughing so hard. I cried several times. I was laughing so hard. And like, I immediately watched it again the next day because I loved it so much. I watch this movie every year around 4th of July because they have the 4th of July celebration in the movie, which I know kind of conflicts with my past thing with Die Hard, but you know what? I'm just going to ignore that. like we said, endlessly quotable. I have a quote from every character for like every situation in life. We've already talked about, I'll just go fuck myself, mahalo. But even just like the cook guy go, you need a hug. Come here. Just someone's having a bad day. It never fails to make me smile. And it's one of those movies that like I anticipate all the funny parts as they're coming, and that gets me laughing. And then when it actually happens, I laugh more. I think this movie and like Napoleon Dynamite are the two biggest examples of that for me. So I could pick one character and just say all their quotes and I would be entertained for an entire day. I mean, that's how I got my screen name, like you guys said. I'm Kunu. Like, Paul Rudd in this movie is like my favorite movie character ever. He's just so fucking funny, and I will never ever ever
44.
All right, monster man.
Kunu's like, do less, and Michael's like, say less.
I like that. Well, we it's all just hysterical, gave a different quote.
Actually, if I have a quick aside here, he says he's 44 in the movie. I was at the climbing gym this past spring. And I was with one of my friends. We were climbing, and this other guy was joining in and like rotating in with us. And we were like, so how old are you? He's like, oh, I'm a freshman in college. And we're like, oh man, you're making us feel so old. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, what are you, like 44? And I went,
damn, fuck.
No, but thank you, I guess.
Fucking dick.
But yeah, it's a bonus 5 out of 4 for me. And it always will be until I die, or the heat death of the universe, whichever comes first. Who's left?
The two Ions?
Yeah, two let's go Ions. To Brian, I guess.
All right. 4 for me. I could watch this movie again right now, easily. Mm-hmm. This is endlessly entertaining. It's worth noting that this cost $30 million to make, and it did make $105 million through its theatrical run. So it was also, you know, a successful movie. Which
so
is
you're saying there's a chance for a remembering Sarah Marshall?
Hold on. Wait a minute. You might have just keyed into something there. I hope not if we don't get the Dracula musical first.
Ooh.
That's what I'm still waiting on from Jason Segel is,
I would
the Dracula musical.
Instant see that.
Which he has said is based on a real thing that it was supposed to be. He was working on it as supposed to be his way to break into the industry, and he showed it to Judd Apatow, and he was like, never show this to anyone again, which is why it's so fleshed out in this movie, because it's an actual thing that he has worked on. Unfortunately, he says it will probably never see the light of day, and that upsets me greatly, because I love this movie, and I'm always down for seeing more things connected to it. I don't love Get Him to the Greek, but I'm glad that this universe gets to live on a little bit. And I first saw this when in 2008, probably late 2008, after it was out on DVD. And I had just gone through a breakup, a big breakup, and this was like very relatable, and it hit me at the right time, and it just became instantly one of my favorite movies. And yeah, so a 4 for me, and let's hear from Ryan.
100% maybe the most I've related to this whole podcast, Brian. I saw this in theaters in midsummer 2008, midsummer, as we like to say it, where I'm Dennis. From. It was with a girl I just started dating, and the relationship lasted about to when it came out on DVD later in that winter, to which I bought it and then watched it post-breakup, and it hit in a very different way. I already really appreciated it and then just fell in love with it even more. So in the same way, like also, Michael, you spoke, this just like speaks to me in a specific place and time. And like anytime I pull this up, like I'm instantly brought back. This is a very nostalgic movie. I have so many fucking feelings attached to this movie. I think the way it dives into relationships and breakups specifically, and yet keeps the humor, is remarkable. There have been movies that tried, like there was The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. God. Not funny. Not a funny movie. It's hard. It's hard to do this really dramatic kind of death of a relationship with a sense of humor and with any kind of earnesty, and that they do it in a
Kramer versus Kramer.
It's crazy.
It's not a comedy. Infinite and a sub 2 hour movie is remarkable. It's just absolutely remarkable. I'm glad that Michael gave this the bonus point. I think it's well deserved. This is a high, very enthusiastic 4 for me as well.
Awesome. That brings us to our final category, direction. We'll be talking about Nicholas Stoller here. This is his first feature film, so that's worth keeping in mind. Let's have Sean start it off.
I'll give this a 2. It's really tough when we're going out of 4, and it's like Ryan's mentioned it multiple times, wanting to split it down the middle, and I very badly want to split this straight down the middle at a 2.5, but I can't, and 3 is way too high. This feels like someone with a really good vision having put something together with, like, I don't know. Have you guys ever heard of like RPG Maker? You make like a Legend of Zelda game, and you know, it's like you have a vision, but it just looks like you've stapled together a whole bunch of things that flow really well. But in terms of directing a complete great looking thing, a lot was left to be desired. I would be curious to see what else Nicholas Stoller's done, because like there's nothing offensive done here. I just don't think that anything was particularly great.
Yeah.
Nicholas Stoller, the director of the Kool-Aid movie?
But nothing's sticking out at me. So Ryan, please tell me how I'm wrong. And
I didn't pull him up. I'm going to be wrong, but
I have a list here. I have a list if you want.
The Muppets movie.
Yeah, he did The Muppets. With Jason Siegel.
That alone is enough. But like the Neighbors movies are very good. I think they're a lot of fun. He's also done like a bunch of Apple TV shows. Like
he did The Neighbors? The
Seth Rogen one. Yeah.
That was a fun movie. I'm very sour on The Neighbors.
He goes on. And if we're going to talk about spiritual sequels to Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I think The Muppets is that. It is the Dracula musical writ large. I don't need to see this Dracula musical because The Muppets gave that to me.
I still do.
But continue on, Sean. I just disagree that Nicholas Stoller has done nothing. And that was a Kyle rebuttal.
Whoa. No, I didn't say that. I said he didn't do anything offensive. No, that was a
Kyle rebuttal. Kyle said that. Kyle is trolling.
100%. No, I'm not. I'll back it up.
I ignore the people when I'm talking, so it's kind of great. Anyways, Ryan. I said 2, right? Yeah, I said 2. Actually, you know what? No. Michael, you're up next, because you keep getting shoved to the center of the bus and you're getting the scraps of people's thoughts.
Well, this is one instance where I would have liked that. But anyway.
God damn it. No. This is why I don't do good things.
We've said this so many times. 4 is such a weird scale for this.
Yeah.
I just knowing what else I've seen from Nicholas Stoller, I think I have to give this a 2. It's solidly fine in the directing. Like we've said before, the story doesn't exactly reinvent the wheel. The choices they've made stylistically are kind of bland in terms of setting, but it all kind of flows. Like, I thought some of the stylistic choices they made in Get Him to the Greek were like quite good, especially when he's like high on the Jeffrey. Like, that was an amazing scene. Yeah. Some of the stuff you see in Neighbors, like with the pranks and like the scene with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron talking about Batman next to the fountain, was so well done. Where it kind of here in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, some of those like one-on-one scenes, they're good in terms of like dialogue and plot, but like that's pretty much it. So I agree. I'll go 2. Again, I'm not like the most in tune to these sort of choices that filmmakers make. So
that's me every week.
for me, I was more focusing on the dialogue, plot, that sort of thing. So I can look past it. But in terms of just focusing on that, yeah, it's a 2. That's fine. Kyle.
It's weird because I did say that. I might buck the trend here a little bit because I'm not comparing this to the rest of his stuff, but I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall is this guy's best movie so far. He kind of came out hard. Ryan, you can disagree with me. I'll kick it to you afterwards. But I don't like Neighbors, and I like Neighbors 2 even less. I've only ever seen like Friends from College. I did not enjoy that.
I like that show.
But Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I really like a lot. And even though, like, I don't know, on style, we did kind of knock points. I think this is a very competent movie. It gets a lot of things done. Like, I feel there's, especially with a lot of these characters, I wonder, like, I feel like with Jason Segel, there's probably a lot of, like, kind of ad-libbing. I know, like, they worked on the opening dick shot a lot, and he would frequently sort of play with himself so that he was constantly semi-erect, because if you show an erect penis, that's when it becomes pornography. So he couldn't be fully hard, but he also didn't want to be, you know, fresh as a daisy with, you know, the little bear button poking out of the Brillo pad. You're gonna fucking be on the 30-foot screen.
Detailed.
You want your hog to look at least semi-impressive. So, all that to say, I'm higher. I'm a 3 on this. I think he actually did a good job, especially considering the budget, $30 million compared to $105 million box office, not even counting. I know this also just blew up on DVD sales. This was also one of those like early in the re-release as an unrated to make even more money sort of thing. So easily, I think a 3, man. And I do kick it to Ryan.
I'm going to be a difficult person. Brian, can you please change my score of style from a 3 to a 2? Because I think that's where a lot of, and I agree with a lot of the complaints so far, I think that's where I feel this is most affected, is I do think it's, the style is bland. And I think he gets a more interesting style as he goes on as a director. But I do want to give a little bit of credit because I do think, if we're going to bring up the unrated cut, I will show you the signs of a good director. Cutting that fucking Kristen Wiig bit. I didn't like it. I don't think it added anything. I think it was a smart move. I think it made the movie run a little tighter. I think the theatrical cut is absolutely better. I think the unrated thing is not a director's cut. I think it just added footage. And that shows me a director who knows what should and shouldn't be in a movie. That this is also his first movie, and that it is coherent, that it makes like three-dimensional characters, as we've all said, and even makes us now going back, like still chuckle at Russell Brand. That's the work of a competent director. And for doing so well off the top and like making a profit, I think this is a solid 3 for me. The 4 scale's weird. I think 3 is a bit high, but I am more positive than I am just thinking he's an average director. That said, The Muppets is absolutely his best movie. I think that is when he peaked as a director, and I think Jason
he didn't direct it. He only wrote it.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not listed as a director on The Muppets. So.
That's why. Then maybe this is his best directed movie. Maybe he did peak here. All right, but The Muppets is his best project. And Jason Segel's project.
Ooh.
I will die on that hill.
Who does my score to
a three? It's just me left.
Okay.
Ryan convinced me.
On direction? Boom. Yeah. He's up.
Boom.
We're bringing...
All right.
A rising tide brings all boats.
I am also going to be giving him a three. I'm not gonna belabor it. I think this is excellent work for your first outing. I know a lot of it is resting on the shoulders of Jason Segel's script and the amazing improv and the improvisation of the actors you have on set. Because I know that that's probably 30 to 40% of the movie is improv'd, but still, for a budget of $30 million and to make the amount of money you did, and for this to be as just the sticking power of this movie, I think is a lot to do with Nicholas Stoller. And I am now more interested in seeing things from him that I haven't yet, like the show Platonic is on my list. And I still haven't watched Bros. It's been on my list forever, but I do want to see Bros. And and if the Kool-Aid movie from the studio ever comes out, it'll be directed by him too. So that is a high three from me, which is going to give Forgetting Sarah Marshall a total from us of 87.
Wow.
Which is a pretty good score. Pretty good score. Comparatively, 84 critical on Rotten Tomatoes. 76 yep. audience. IMDb has it a 7.1. Metacritic at a 67 and Letterboxd at a 3.3. So they're all right there in the mid to high 60s and low 70s. And we are considerably higher than that, like the critics. So I feel like we can consider ourselves actual movie critics now.
Yeah.
I
think we're there.
I like how whatever score we get is relatively close to one of those two categories, and we just claim them as our own, whichever one we're closest to.
Some weeks we're the audience, others were the critics.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't take ourselves too seriously this week. I was there for the experience.
I didn't talk about one of the bits I really liked is when he recognizes the waiter at the beach later and the waiter's like, oh, hey, what's up, man? And then just punches him in the face.
Yeah.
This ain't no every breakfast buffet, bitch.
Contains great multitudes.
Bit. He's like, oh, yeah, hey, what's up, man?
And then it's nice to him later again as a waiter.
Yeah, like nothing fucking happened.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want anything to drink this morning. Okay. Have a good day.
Oh, good shit.
So funny.
Shit.
Speaking of resorts, though, have you guys seen Acapulco on Apple TV? Anybody heard of it?
No.
What?
It's about a resort in Acapulco, and it's like set in the 80s. It gives me so much vibes of like if you were to get a peek behind the camera of everyone who worked at this resort in Hawaii, like kind of what they're doing behind the scenes. It's a really funny show that I have to finish.
What about an island where they only play accordions called Acapulco?
God damn. Okay.
Only if their leader is Weird Al.
They definitely worship him. He is a god.
Acapulco.
Uh-huh.
But he's not involved. It's a situation where he's actually suing this cult for using his likeness.
Yeah.
That's
this
great.
Is the sequel it's to like Weird.
Mm-hmm. We should
write That'd be great.
Give Daniel Radcliffe all my money. It's not a lot, but he can have it to do that.
We'll only sign him on for this one if he agrees to also do Vampire Sopranos and gain the weight to play Tony Soprano.
Nice. That's how you do it. Yeah. One for you, one for me.
Damn it. No.
Uh-huh.
No.
Actually, they're both for me.
Get idea out. No.
But it's like a- take that idea out and bring it to the Patreon. Guys, if you liked what we talked about today and you want to hear more, if you want to hear about a vampire Tony Soprano, that's going to be coming up, probably. Actually, I have no idea. But if you want to find out at the same time that I do, join us on patreon.com/experiencegrind, which you can find in our linktree/experiencegrind. You'll find that, some socials. You'll also find the Discord, where actually where we hang out and post things and like on socials, because we're terrible at this, but we prefer to be around people who aren't shitbags, and we don't let those into the Discord, so join us there. But
it's cool.
Ryan, I think you're up next week.
I was going to ask, am I, or are we going to stick with Kyle doing it?
Nope.
I am.
It's you. We're back to breaks, baby.
Okay.
All gas, so
then
no
I'm
going
to have to get back to you, because I didn't think about what we're going to
do. Okay, that's fair.
If I spit off the dome, it's going to be some weird shit, and you probably don't want that.
Maybe we've you'll hear about high what, waves is, what is up next
we have
on the Patreon.
Outside of Man's Best Friend.
And
I don't know. Let's
not watch that again.
No, I feel like there was another one also.
Another one of mine, anyhow. Probably.
Well, all right, continue on.
Michael, thanks for hanging out with us again. Glad we could have you on for this one.
Yeah, it was really awesome to have you on.
I am so glad that you guys asked me to come on, because this, I will talk anyone's ear off about this movie if they will let me. So happy to do it. It's always a pleasure to be on with you guys.
I am in agreement.
You're back in like.
I'm always glad when someone's on as a guest, and it's like an actual like good entertaining form of media that we watch, like a good movie or a good show or a good game, and not trash. Like 87. If our cumulative amount of 87 were to appear on an aggregate site like Metacritic, and I saw it, I'd be like, I'm probably gonna watch that. 87's a good number. I like that number.
It's not like the 17.
Not too high. If it's too high,
friend.
I don't want to watch it.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. It doesn't insist on itself if it's too high. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't need every reviewer being like, I suck this movie's dick. Watch it.
What, like you did with The Substance?
That movie was good. And I
mean, we gave it 100.
Didn't I get like 101?
Yeah.
That bad boy got extra credit.
Good flick.
Shit.
It's a good flick.
It is a good time. Well, maybe not a good time, but a good flick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
anyway,
that is
going to take us out.
To do it for Getting Sarah Marshall, and we'll see you guys next week for whatever Ryan throws at us. Until then, you can go huma huma nuka nuka apua yourself.